Hello. Welcome to John and Alex Hate Stuff. This week, we've got a very special episode for you. Wherein John and Alex hate Steph because she's a dirty, dirty human being that made us watch Swiss Army Man.
You're welcome.
I don't have a lot of hate in my heart, and it takes a lot for me to get mad at my friends, but boy, you're treading on thin ice there, bucko, because this movie was, wow. I texted you saying I hate this movie already. That text was sent before the title card showed up that said Swiss Army Man.
Yep, yeah.
Did you watch any more of it?
I was talking to a coworker about this today. That this is the first time in the history of this show. And I thought I could get away with it because both of you guys are here. That I would just lie and say I watched the movie. Because it's so, so bad.
See, like, I did the same thing. I thought about bailing on it because I had seen it before. I saw it in a second run theater. And I almost left. Save for it was very hot out, and I didn't have anything else to do. And I was so angry at the movie that I was like, oh, my life is so empty. I'm going to continue to watch this movie. I am not a fan. Yeah.
Well, the first time I watched it, I was very, very stoned and on an airplane, so I couldn't leave. I wanted to.
I would have found a way.
If I could try to flush yourself down the toilet.
I would have walked out of that movie, even watching it on a plane.
So I thought maybe... maybe it was because I was so stoned that somehow I missed something in the movie and it was actually better than I thought. Mm-hmm. But no, it was actually worse.
Well, if you read some of the reviews for it, there is love for this film.
People love it. There's awards.
Yeah. And that's wrong. And I have very specific reasons that we can get into about why it's wrong. But I kind of am flummoxed that people enjoy this movie.
I am lost. In a way that I don't, there's movies that I don't get. We've talked about it and we'll probably do it on the show eventually. Like, I don't get the love for Big Lebowski.
It's neither just not, do I.
I don't find the movie all that funny, but I can in some way empathize. Like, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe in a different universe.
Sure.
I could like this movie, but it's not for me. It's 100% not. This is making me question if I actually know anything about any humans that. Mm-hmm. Do I have a grasp of any reality that I could live in a world where, one, this was made, and then, two, people generally watched it and went, hey, you know what? That movie, with all the farts and the nothing else happening, that was great.
See, I took it more external. Excuse me. I took it more external than that, in that I didn't question my own ability. Is that I questioned everyone else around me. And I think this movie very contextually fits into the late, I'm not sure year-wise if it's like the late 2000s, early 2010s, something like that. But all this like bullshit fake earnestness of like Mumford and Sons and that kind of stuff. This nestles very nicely into that shit. And I hate all of that. And I have an ongoing argument with a friend of mine about when something is done in this style, I immediately... decide that it's not earnest and it's not real. And he's like, no, it absolutely can be. But I don't think it, I think it's phony on its face. It's, and I feel like I've made this reference on the show before. There was a memes in that time that was like a blurred out background of like a forest scape or something. And then what looked like handwritten text over it saying some empty pablum about like, you know, it was really the friends we made along the way or something, or like the real joy is in your heart or some shit like that. That is this movie to me. And so I'm not surprised that people like it because people are dumb. And I think this movie is made for rubes.
I'm okay with that then. Like, not okay. Like, I'm no longer in an existential crisis about the film if it is just, well, people are rubes. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. There was a quote I'm trying to find on the IMDb thing where one of the two, not Harry Potter. Who's the other person involved?
Paul Dano.
Paul Dano said that he was interested in the film when he heard the kind of elevator pitch was, the first fart will make you laugh, the last fart will make you cry.
Yeah.
Which, if you could design a quote to make me not like a movie, that's it. Like, see, if that's an elevator pitch, that's one that would make me strangle someone.
See, I'm on board. Like, yeah, that is like, all
that
right.
That quote was better than the movie.
Because I am not happy that I'm not laughing at fart jokes. Like, that yes. makes me angry that I'm not laughing at fart jokes.
See, the fact that you guys think fart jokes are funny
is that we're human beings.
No, it's that you're part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's that
we experience
wrong
joy.
People like you.
Uh-huh. It's not supposed to make you cry. It's supposed to make you laugh.
Exactly.
I think that's what the problem with this movie is that they wanted you to cry, and I'm not going to cry.
I'm not going to cry at a fart.
Unless it smells really bad. You can,
well, yeah. Unless that fart actually cuts an onion.
The smell on that set must have
I may
been.
Walk off the show. There's no let us not lower ourselves to the level of this film.
Yes.
We are speaking from
we
the
just
rare...
watched Boss Baby and farts are beneath us.
Boss Baby was fucking Bach compared to this fucking bullshit. This was taco. This is okay, here's a list of grievances before we even start.
Uh-huh.
How do they not fuck?
If they you're gonna do, be, don't no, they?
They kiss at one point.
No, yeah, that's as
but
close as it gets.
If this movie is, I get why they made the film, like beyond being like
why?
Hyperbolic.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, please. Let us
let's
know.
Just cut to the chase. Why
on,
did they make
on
this
paper,
movie?
On paper, I could get it because there's people that think that kind of, let's see how avant-garde and kind of, let's see how much we can get an emotional response by a non-emotional topic. So
yeah.
What's the one way you wouldn't get someone to cry? Dumb fart jokes. Like so,
you
idea,
might.
No, but the idea is that they're going for the extremes of something to pull mm-hmm. off the other. They're doing like a dipole kind of thing by going so far to one direction. I'm not saying it's effective
yeah.
or a good idea, but I get why talented people would
right.
be convinced to do this
well,
with that very wrong thought in their head.
Well, let me counter that with an actual effective thing. The film director Todd Haynes, I had the chance to watch this recently, made a movie called Superstar, and it's the life story of Karen Carpenter. The singer Karen Carpenter, done entirely with Barbie dolls. And when you first hear that, you're like, oh, this is going to be some ridiculous, like, over-the-top thing. But it's very disarming in that, like, because that's kind of how you approach it at first. But it's actually a very, like, moving and effective portrayal of this, of her struggles with anorexia or whatever. And it works in this weird way because you're so disarmed by that. And I think the filmmakers wanted to try to do a similar thing. And it absolutely doesn't pay off in the slightest.
Yeah. Failure on pretty much every level. I loathed this movie so much. And I'm just going to keep going back to this point because it's really the only point I have of this film is there is nothing good about it except I liked the end.
Mm.
That's
oh
it.
Oh my God.
But we'll get to the end later. But literally the only, I was trying to, because usually when I hate a movie, which doesn't happen that often on the show actually, that I truly loathe the film. I like to go through and think, okay, what's the positive to this?
Right.
And
I'm
without,
trying, yeah.
Yeah, without joking, without trying to exaggerate, it's, I struggle to find one thing I like. Like, Daniel Radcliffe did a good job, but like...
Yeah, he did, but...
See, yeah.
See, yeah, but so, great. But that's...
Congratulations.
Yeah, you laid there a bit. Like, wow.
Did a dead
well, so,
really good.
Which, as an aside, not necessarily talking about his acting ability, but I do like that he's made his money being Harry Potter, being in these bajillion-dollar films. And he's like, I'm just going to do whatever because who cares? I don't need to, like, make it. I've made it. I have my money. So I'll be a farting corpse. I'll just go do theater in London for a while. And I think that's cool. I appreciate that he's willing to do this kind of crap.
That's part of the I understand why the film got made aspect.
Right.
I see as actors why you choose this role. This is challenging as fuck. You have to act against only one other person and in a ludicrous situation.
Yeah.
And for Daniel Radcliffe, there's very little to do. And doing very little is much harder than doing a lot as an actor. Like, so I get the... I get why he made this very, very wrong choice. Again,
yeah.
I can't stress enough when I say I understand it. I mean I understand it in the same way I understand why I didn't swerve to avoid that pothole.
Well,
or
it's a challenge.
What I did through every year post-high school. I get walking into horrible mistakes.
Well, it's a hard role. I mean, he's playing a dead person that's not dead.
Yeah. And he has to vomit up things and fart other things. And
it's drinking water.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I thought the performances were actually solid. So this being my second time seeing this, the white hot hatred has become a sort of cool disdain. But I still loathe that. I'm in the same way where I still loathe this movie. I can see a little bit more this time around why people like it, but I do think they're rubes and dumb. The people that made this The Daniels. That's when I first knew I was in trouble, is that the directorial credit was The Daniels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the Coen brothers or, you know, the Duplass and Duplass, whatever. It's The Daniels. It's Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But just that pretentious-ass name, immediately I went, oh, well, this is... I'm in trouble here.
In the trivia they reference, and this is fun trivia, you're going to like this stuff, is that they're both the Daniels, and then it's Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano. Oh, so there's like, I mean, there's Dans cool. all over the place. Yeah. This movie, if you may forgive me, chock-a-block of Dan.
Yeah, a lot
Maybe
of Dan.
That's
lot
why
of Dans.
I don't like it, because I'm not Dan.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, this is a Dan-centric movie.
Yeah, that's where we went wrong, was... Well, watching the movie. Right. Watching the movie while not being Dan.
What did your coworker think? Did your coworker like it?
No, he had not seen it. But he said that he has friends that really like the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I it made me think...
Those are not real friends.
Your friends are wrong. And you should probably stop being friends with them.
I have a coworker that likes it.
Yeah.
And she was going to write a thing to defend it, but it didn't happen.
Because that's the type of person that would watch the movie.
No, I am
so curious.
Through.
I know what you liked.
I know multiple people that enjoy this movie, and I have lost friends over it. No, but I've had people yell at me about it. But
what do they like?
They like it. They believe it's genuinely good, and the emotions there are real and.
What's the real emotion that I'm supposed to be? Do I just not have emotions?
No, and it's a movie that makes you question that. And maybe that's the real.
Well, this is a case of also like, no, you don't have emotions, but you didn't need them in this case.
Right, yeah.
They weren't going to be tapped into. Like, even if you weren't a soulless, awful human, like
I do,
as proven by making us watch this movie.
You well, yeah, I know.
So the
I wanted Misery Loves Company.
So these guys, the Daniels. Made their name by doing music videos. And most famously did the music video for Lil Jon's Turn Down for What?
Ooh.
Which is essentially David Cronenberg's Shivers, but done as a music video. And it's effectively done. It's a neat little music video. And this movie is a music video. This movie should have been a music video.
Yeah.
The first, before the title card comes up, like that little bit, guy finds a corpse. Guy's going to hang himself. Guy finds a corpse on the island. Seems trapped on an island. Finds a corpse. The corpse farts. He rides the corpse away from the island. That's a music video, and that's done.
And it is, though, because he starts singing.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be a musical.
Oh, that actually would have been better. Because that would have helped remove you from the reality enough to make this, I think, the magical realism in this movie work a little bit more. But, yeah, there's so much of this movie that just can't – the movie isn't – weighty enough to handle what it's trying to do. Like it wants to be a music video, but it also wants to be like very serious and real. And that hasn't happened since Richard Marx.
Right here waiting for you?
No. Hazard, I think, was the song. It was like the music video actually told the story.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the
Or Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Not the book, but the music video by somebody. Queensryche or something.
I just realized while you're talking, one of the reasons I extra hated this, and I didn't put my finger on it until now, is that I am the target for this movie to like it. Other than the fart stuff, which you're supposed to go beyond, but it's, hey, a lonely, depressed guy that like kind of fantasizes about girls on a bus.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. You're focusing. And this is part of that post fucking Wes Anderson wave of, oh, yeah. Let's be twee as fuck.
Well, that's
Wes Anderson. That's me.
That's the problem.
I'm supposed to like this. And you failed, fuckers.
Is that you have, and this is arguable, but you have some level of emotional maturity. Whereas this is designed for 17-year-olds. This is designed for people that don't. That have no idea like how to contextualize feelings or anything like that. This is the whole like, I saw a girl on the bus, so that immediately means love, and that's the same thing as any other sort of love I experience. It's very hollow, all the emotions in there. It's very sort of baseline, raw, no real thought behind it.
All right, Grandpa, stop trying to talk me out of my love.
Yeah.
I like a girl on the bus, so I'm going to dress up like a girl and fuck a corpse. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
As I'm saying, directly.
I know. They know you so well. They must have been following you and taking notes.
I mean, this must well be the Alex Bolan documentary. like that time I got caught on that island and ended up fucking that corpse.
Well, the movie started out perfect for me because he was going to kill himself and then he found a dead body. And I was like, oh, this looks like it's going to be really good. And the minute he started farting, I wish he would have killed himself.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I don't understand why that stopped him. But yeah, there's a lot about the kind of like Boss Baby a little bit. There's a lot about the what actually happened in this movie that I have some questions about.
Right. I have some stuff written down about that too. Because how long do you think this happened?
Well, it's over because you see a few like days and nights, but there's definitely montages of them in the forest. But then it takes him no time at all to get back where they were.
Right.
So, you know, you in the movie, well, we can talk about the end when we get further down. But yeah, so there is this little bit, like it wants you to kind of question that. But there's a couple of shots this movie that tell you, no, this is actually 100% happening. This isn't, because I was irritated for most of it. Because, all right, well, I don't know if we want to just go through this, but basically that, yeah, Paul Dano's this sad weirdo that's going to kill himself, sees this corpse. He seems to be on an island somewhere. Corpse washes up on the shore. It's Daniel Radcliffe. And Paul Dano's like, oh, are you okay? Goes to check him. Daniel Radcliffe starts farting and starts like propelling himself through his farts. So Paul Dano rides him away. And then we have a title card. And then they end up back on land, I guess. And they're very happy about that. And then it's just them in the wilderness. But it's like, I don't even know if that any of that bit actually happened. I'm assuming so, but because the movie wants you to think for a little bit that it's all in his head, that it's him projecting onto the corpse. And I feel like it doesn't really.
Well, the corpse talks.
Right.
But the idea is that since there's only two people on island, you're kind of not actually seeing through. But the idea is that you're seeing through the eyes of Paul Dano's character, that you're watching kind of the talking is just all in Paul Dano's head. But mm-hmm. I would have found the movie more effective if that farting scene in the beginning where he rides him to the other island didn't happen that way, because that sets up a reality that this is actually happening, because mm-hmm. he's on one island. There's no islands that he can see or no land to be seen. He's essentially shipwrecked, that it's so much to the point that he's going to kill himself. And then he has to ride a corpse to the next island. That has to happen for him to get to the next island. Mm-hmm. So we no longer have a reality that can be decided upon. Like, okay, you can say, yeah, it's in his head. Like, I think that's what the filmmakers were going for.
Right.
But the first scene establishes, no, we live in a reality where he rode a corpse to another island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's either they did a really bad job of showing what psychosis looks like, or we just live in a fart-propelled Daniel Radcliffe boat reality. Either way, I hate it, but it's not an effective way to have one of those is it real or is it not real style stories.
But to be honest, I'm not sure how much of that they were going for, because that only gets called into question at the end. And so that's why I think the end doesn't work as well, almost for those reasons that you brought up as well as some other stuff. But I think you're supposed to play along like, no, this is all happening and whimsical and good. When I saw it, I couldn't get on board with that as a concept. I'm just like, no, he's talking to a corpse. This is all to me. Like, I was putting it out there that it was in his head.
Yeah.
But you're absolutely right that technically, if he was going to do that, that would have to have actually happened. But I just started to assume that he was never on that island, that island was metaphorical or something, for no good reason other than that I hated these people.
Well, if I may bring up the greatest quote of mankind, technically, yeah, well, technically correct is the best kind of correct.
It's the best kind of correct.
Yeah. All right, so.
Well, he's like, he's doing this thing where he's making him talk back to him by moving his mouth.
Uh-huh.
And then he actually does talk and he punches him in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fine. I like seeing Daniel Radcliffe get punched in the face.
Yes, I've read your blog.
And you saw his butt,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Well, didn't he stick a wine before, cork so, in yeah. his butt?
He did.
Yeah, at a certain point he did. Yeah.
What was, why did that happen?
Mm. Oh, he was, I think the idea was he was trying to store up the fart energy.
In case mm-hmm. he needed to go to another island?
Well, no, I think that's the idea of like later when he has like extreme feats of fart strength is because it's been built up by via butt crack cork. It's the difference between potential and kinetic energy if we talk about the actual
physics. Yeah, he was going to use it to power the lights for their house party that they have later.
Yeah.
There is a thing I want to address that we passed over. So at the beginning when he discovers the body, Paul Dano's character starts singing. It's sort of like almost like Reggie, if you've ever seen Reggie Watts do a thing where he'll sing a little bit and like put it on the loop.
Yeah.
And yeah, he creates like the soundtrack for the movie.
Like a fuck shit stack.
I thought it was going to be a musical. That's right. Where I thought it was going to be a musical.
And it that never coalesces into anything.
No. Like there's music that was kind of the coolest part.
The same kind of, yeah. But I'm like, oh, well, this is kind of interesting. And then it's like, no, we're not, we're done doing that. Like, this is going to be the style of the soundtrack for the rest of it, which also didn't help because it is that kind of, to me, that soundtrack is very much that. faux earnestness, Mumford & Sons. Mm-hmm. I don't remember any of the other awful bands that do that crap. But if I wonder how this movie would be different with a different soundtrack. If you took out that shit and just had either the dead band Neil Young fucking around on a guitar or anything.
He sung Cotton Eye Joe for a little bit.
He did. So thankfully we have that forever. God yeah. bless you, rednecks.
Again, I think it's one of those trying to go for the Wes Anderson-y vibe where, mm-hmm. you know, emotional, you know, resonance via yeah. soundtrack and just doing a shit poor job of it. This reminded me of the Science of Sleep.
Never saw it.
Essentially, it's, hey, let's try to make a Wes Anderson movie and just, like, you're just making a Wes Anderson movie, if that makes sense, where it's just like, well, these are the parts that go together right. to make a Wes Anderson film, and then let us throw them together, and there, we have made our movie, except, you know, it doesn't actually work at all. And this feels like the extension of that, like the Equilibrium to Matrix kind of thing, sure. where this is just, you know, if so basically this movie made me hate Wes Anderson, who used to be my favorite filmmaker.
Yeah, well, I think that's I think we might have talked about this a little bit, that style was so mimicked that I was a little bit worried about getting into it because people yeah. done it so badly. But it is interesting it's interesting to me the way I feel about things, but
shocking.
Yeah, but that I am so much more incensed at stuff like this versus like the crappy Spielbergian or Hallmark movie, just on the level sentimentality of like where it's really obvious what they're trying to do. Like in Boss Baby, when they're playing, when it's Blackbird and you know they're going to come back later and it's going to make you feel things.
Yeah.
I'm much more fine with that than this, which I feel is a lot more sort of cynical. Like here's the thing that actually made people feel things. So let's recreate that. And even though it's the exact same thing, somehow by making it hip and cool, it irritates me a lot more.
Yeah. Also, the end result of it is kind of it's not, like in the world of the movie, it's not coming from an earnest place.
Yeah.
So it doesn't pay off that way. So it's yeah.
It made me angry.
No. Yeah. It did. Like like I said, like not because I knew what I was expecting going in this time. It was a little bit
yeah, me easier. Too.
But when I saw it the first time, it was just white hot rage.
Me too. And I was really stoned. Nothing yeah. makes me angry. I love movies. But yeah. I was just so angry at this movie because I was just like, what the fuck are you doing? Mm-hmm. Why? And it wasn't even like fun to just watch visually, really.
And there was a couple of shots that looked okay, but that's about the best I could come up with the film. That, yeah. I was desperately trying to like this. Like, I just want, because one, it's so much better if I wanted to love this movie just so you guys could yell at me for the entire episode.
God,
and there
me
was
too.
Just, there was nothing I could do about it. There was nothing there for me to latch onto.
It's capably made. Like, the people, like, there's the shots look nice enough. The acting is decent, but it just doesn't amount to anything.
The stuff that they made, like the bus and all of that kind of stuff. It was really cool, I thought.
It was, yeah.
But, like, I mean, how long did this take? Because I counted 4 nights when I watched it this time. I wrote it down. I counted 4 nights, but, you know, they did have montages that might have been over. But I was like, how long did he go without eating?
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, obviously there's a lot of magical realism in this movie. And it's a thing that would work better in some ways, like as a cartoon, in terms of like, if you were to watch a cartoon and all of a sudden in the cartoon, they've built a fake bus out of
yeah.
sticks just for the purposes of demonstrating how to talk to a girl. You'd be like, oh yeah, yeah, fine. It's a cartoon. But in this one, I'm like, well, why would they do that? He should be concerned about how it's going to eat food.
It would be better as a cartoon because I wouldn't have watched it.
Yeah, oh, well, fair enough.
This just reminds me during that part where the kind of full kind of magical realism comes in and Daniel Radcliffe becomes more of like a fully formed character. Manny, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul Dano shaves with Manny's face, that's the fucking grossest thing I've seen in my life.
With his teeth.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of trash on that island. Find a fucking tin can, bro. That's gross.
Yeah.
You're gross and you're insulting your
new
friend.
Well, they're no longer on an island. They're in the woods.
Yeah.
And where there's a ton of trash.
Are we getting to the ending or no?
I mean, no.
We
can't get to the ending quite yet because, basically we haven't really talked about the movie at all. We've just made fun of it.
So did he turn the Bible into Everybody Poops by writing over it in poop?
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
My brain blotted that out. My brain was like, you don't need to know that that's what's happening.
They showed it more than once. We could talk about the boner.
Yeah. Okay. Right before we get to the boner.
Okay.
And this, just because this is going to be a small little clip art. Why Jurassic Park?
Because you know what that is? right?
Is it no? But is that it? Is it? Did I
that's,
miss something?
That's it.
It's
no.
literally just because they're the wrong age to make Jurassic Park references.
I don't know. Kids watched it, I'm sure.
No, no, but like they're doing the original theme from what 94.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but like so if this movie came out in what this was like 2016.
So, no, mm-hmm. but Daniel Radcliffe is probably what about 10 years younger than us. So he was 4 when that movie came out.
Well, Daniel Radcliffe, but the character of Manny.
But you're presuming they're the same age. I mean, he's old enough to want to kill himself, so he's got to be at least 27.
You can want to kill yourself at any age. Yeah.
You
look,
that's
that.
True. Didn't you see that Sesame Street episode?
Hey, who are you talking to, kids? I'm well familiar. If anybody's the master of knowing when they want to kill themselves, okay. it's this guy.
So what age?
Who has 2 thumbs and desperately wants to die?
Right after you.
I don't know if I need to explain this to you, but you can watch movies after they've come out.
No, I know, but having it be a cultural touchstone to the point that like...
But I think it was for like... Because if these people were born in the 90s, say,
yeah.
right? I mean, that was Jurassic Park. That's VHS and DVD were a thing for a while, and you had to watch whatever was just available to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like the choice. It annoyed me. I also, it felt pandering because it's like, oh, you're using a score that's sweeping and soaring and singing it, trying to get emotional
right.
content out of it. Annoyed me. Just the thing is, the next scene, Boner Town. So, Steph, take it away. Talk about Daniel Radcliffe's Boner.
People get emotional about Jurassic Park.
No, the theme is like thematically.
It's
like,
a great song.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's one of those songs. It's like John Williams. If you watch any movie that John Williams scores, most of those movies aren't like the scenes that you think are emotional. Watch it without his score, and they're not. Like, it's just he's kind of a master.
Yeah, it definitely adds a lot to it.
Yeah, just saying, specifically choosing the Jurassic Park theme was a cold, calculated choice by sociopaths to try to make people feel emotions at a movie that has no emotions. I think this one, Jurassic Park, is wonderful.
He should have went with Cotton Eye Joe.
That would have been fine.
Oh, man. Then I would have stopped right there. You know what? I wish he would have, because then I would have stopped right there and not wasted any more of my life on
this
fucking
movie. Do like a dirge
movie.
Version, you know? Just like, if I'd been to Cotton Eye Joe.
I mean, I think they sort of tried to.
Oh, did they? I just remember them doing like the kind of sweet crooning part.
So, yeah, the boner. That was really, really weird.
Talk about it slower.
Well, so yeah, so he ends up having this dead body ends up having all these powers beyond farting, is if you can imagine that.
Boner power.
Yeah, like, and then they all just kind of happen very, very sort of rapid fire. There's a quick sort of montage of like, well, he's got his boners.
He found that magazine.
Found the magazine, and then yeah, he gets a boner that is somehow a compass, right?
Yes, that yes, it's pointing. The do, way do north. To go.
Yeah, again, unearned because, I mean, I guess the idea is that we're supposed to believe that he's just psychotic. But again, we're not in a reality that he is psychotic. We're in a reality that this is happening.
Right.
But is that he goes, oh, that must be a compass because he's pointing in a direction.
Yeah.
The only way he knows that direction leads anywhere is him being aware that he knows where he is right now. And he knows that's Sarah's house that is in that direction.
Well, it's also making a Geiger counter sound, which is a good sign, right?
Well, that's the thing. This is actually a backdoor pilot by Netflix for the next Cloverfield movie. Sarah is actually the next Cloverfield. It's really subtle, but if you could pick up on the hints, that's why the whole Jurassic Park theme is she's a Diplodocus in disguise.
Sure.
But what about the mom and dad masturbation story about his dad saying, every time he masturbates, it takes time off of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mom tells him to keep masturbating so he can catch up with her, and then they can die together and be together forever.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that's not a regular thing? Is that – did I miss that? No, it's
– yeah, my mom just did it for me. I mean –
my family's a little different, I guess.
I think the idea was, it was like, oh man, look at how messed up this dude is. Because at one point, when he's singing the song, it's like, my mom used to sing this to me, so I didn't overthink things. And that's immediately when I stopped liking that character.
Yeah.
That's
I'm like,
what?
Yeah.
That was far in.
Because it was pretty early on, because I don't think Daniel Radcliffe had come to life yet. Yeah.
First night.
Because he's...
It was a lullaby.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you know, he's still talking to the corpse like it's a person before it actually becomes a person. Yeah, he's like, my mom used to sing this for me, so I didn't overthink things. I'm like, well, that's all kinds of weird.
Yeah, and it was a song about being crazy, right?
Well, I think he said he added words to it. And then he's singing it that how crazy he is. I'm like, well, this is just sort of on the nose, and I'm
no, this is where
interest.
The on the nose section starts. I'm glad you pointed that out, because I have that in my notes here. So we get into like the whole bus thing, and like he says, like, Manny does the, all right, nobody loves you. And Manny becomes his inner monologue.
Yeah.
And starts saying,
exactly.
I had other ones, but yeah, the entire kind of him mocking himself through mm-hmm. Manny's voice, assuming that this is an insane thing, which it isn't. It's a magical fucking dead guy.
Right.
But the only reason this, because, sorry, just going back to the main point.
I get so angry.
If this movie is Daniel Radcliffe magically coming back to life,
yeah.
which it is,
uh-huh.
but it wants you to think that it's an insane thing,
mm-hmm.
Manny's a fucking dickhead. Because
yeah.
he says, like, oh, yeah, because no one loves you. Oh, yeah, because, oh, you want me to think of... He says, you want me to think about your mom while I masturbate? Manny's an asshole.
Right.
Unless this is actually a psychotic, you know, break and he's imagining it, which, it's as
not,
we know, isn't.
Is not
so Manny's
is not
an
case.
Asshole. And fucking Hank Thompson, by the way, he's named after Tom Hanks because of Castaway. Fuck you, movie. You don't deserve to reference that. And I don't even like Castaway.
Yeah. I didn't know his last name.
It's on the IMDb.
Oh,
everything
really?
On IMDb is terrible. It makes you hate the movie a lot
yeah,
more.
Yeah, no, I'm not happy right
You should
now.
Read the IMDb. It's awful.
First of all, reading. Second of all, no way.
Yeah. Oh, in the description, it says something about them becoming fast friends.
Yeah. That is hard earned. How dare you, IMDb?
Yeah.
It's a dead person. That's a one-sided friendship.
I got really irritated also with this. Your point that it is, it would have had to have happened. The farting jet ski would have had to happen for him to get off the island. But even like if it treats it as that he might be going crazy, that it's just him talking to a corpse, the movie spins its wheels for that for so long that I don't care. Like, because there's no forward momentum of like, we're in this jam, we need to get out. It happens like once where they're actually like in a spot and like Daniel Radcliffe's powers help them get out. But so much of it is him just like teaching Daniel Radcliffe about what it means to be human. Meanwhile, how are you surviving? Like you said, like, what are they eating? How are they living?
Those cheesy puffs.
Apparently. Yeah. There's just this endless supply of cheesy puffs. But the fact that I'm thinking about this stuff is that I am not caught up in this movie spell, whatever the movie thinks it's trying to do.
So the part where they're stuck and then he has to put a grappling hook up Daniel Radcliffe's ass or whatever happens. That you could just walk up that hill.
It was never.
Because the thing is, you rolled down that hill and didn't die. Even falling on top of Daniel Radcliffe wouldn't have said, like, that's a perfectly scalable hill. It's fine. Like, you just go up the hill. And again, this would work if this movie was allowed to be Hank is actually insane. But since it's proven he isn't, because Manny actually is becoming alive, it's even dumber. Also, Manny thinking that the woman he loves is Laura Dern. Mm-hmm. Going back to Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, movie.
Yeah, because they set that up. And
can't he fart enough to be an airplane?
Yeah.
Like, why are there these weird limitations of that he can do anything? He can have fresh water coming out of his mouth. His arm's a chainsaw. He can shave with his mouth.
Yeah.
But he, like, can't do certain things.
Why not?
And if he was a person that died, how does he not know how to be a fucking person now?
Yeah.
He knows how to talk. But he doesn't know anything? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what was irritating to me is one of the many things. But that the idea that, well, so because it's, in theory, him talking to a corpse, it's him learning about himself.
Right.
And, like, so he's teaching himself how to be human and learning things from it or whatever. But all this shit is so just, like, again, like, 16-year-old emotional stuff.
Yes.
And it's just so shitty. I don't know how else to put it.
How old is what's his face? Was Hank? How old is Hank supposed to be?
He's supposed to be in his 20s, I think. Because he's moved out. He's estranged from his father.
I kind of made the 27 joke, but reference earlier.
How old are you, Alex?
It's far too old to have been on air. But I had them at kind of late 20s, 30 tops, like that mm-hmm. first, like when you first realize that, oh boy, this. Looks like this isn't working out.
Yeah.
Like that age, which to me was about 28.
Now. Yeah.
No. I kind of knew, but like when the proof starts rolling in on you of like, oh boy, this looks like nothing's really going to happen to the old A-man. I mean, Hank. I'm talking about Hank.
So Daniel Radcliffe is sort of come back to life, I guess, and is this Paul Dano is teaching him about life by creating all these little toys and dioramas out of shit that he's found, which, again, watching the movie for the first time, I'm like, this is what you're doing with your time.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is clearly to me like this is in your head because you're an insane person. Because why would you be spending your time doing this and not trying to go somewhere?
Also,
it's like the worst Gilligan's Island.
Right.
Yeah, but what? He's an incredible artist.
Yeah.
He makes some amazing shit from rando stuff he found like in a trash dump. Why are you upset? You should go be an artist somewhere because you're great at this.
Yeah. But again, like, imagine this, all of this happening in the context of a 5-minute long music video. That all kind of like makes sense then.
Depends on the song.
Fair enough. But you, well, you would have
Not Joe. Right. Obviously. Yeah.
Perfect.
Mixed what other song is there?
Mixed with the theme to Jurassic Park EDM style.
Oh, it's in my head.
But just again. But just like, it's just images thrown at you and it's all fine. You just be like, oh, and he found this dead guy and now they're here and now he's teaching him how to be a human. In the context of 5 minutes, that's fine. But this is like 40 minutes into this goddamn movie.
Yeah.
And I already don't like these characters. I just don't. I'm not on board with whatever it is they're trying to do. So I'm just miserable.
I was on board with him killing himself in the beginning.
it was
a very elaborate rope that he had tied from above a cave, which I feel like was a lot of work.
I think that's the over elaborate Castaway reference.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought of that while watching it, and I think it was confirmed by that trivia fact that his name is, you know, referencing Tom Hanks. But so during this, like, they're going on a date section, they go on the bus, and Manny is talking to Sarah, and he says, it's a song I wrote for you. That's some shitty-ass pickup lines, Manny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he is dead. You know, cut him some slack.
No, I will not cut him some slack. You've had a lot of time to sit on a bus and talk and think about how you're going to talk to Sarah. And you think the first time talking to a lady, you go, oh, yeah, I wrote a song for you and I'm listening to it on my iPod right now. Fuck you. You're terrible. You should have killed yourself. You have no game.
Yes.
I thought she was going to sit somewhere else, but then she sat down. I was like, shit. I thought it would be funny if she just kept walking, like, I'll sit over here.
Yeah. Well, no, she does. She walks past him, then he sits next to her, which would have been funny if she said, oh, no, excuse me. And then she goes, sorry, that's my purse is there. Like, just or like just, some
and then
awful.
Then the movie just happens. Yeah. He's just, the dead body just left there and moves on.
Just looking up. And then there's just a Chiron across the bottom and just like plain aerial font. It says, this is what life is actually like.
Well, yeah.
Is actually life. That's how
that's
works.
Perfect for this movie, though. Like, the emotions in this movie are so mawkish and awful. Combined with the farting, it's like if one of the Farrelly brothers was that asshole from American Beauty that filmed a bag.
Oh, geez.
It's that. It's just like you have one guy's been like, well, what if we had a Chinese person fart? And the one's like, what's a thought if you think about it?
Yeah, you're 100% right. This life is life.
This is
very much American Beauty on an island while nearly humping a corpse. Oh, which we haven't gotten to nearly humping a corpse. So they get drunk because he finds some vodka.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he does the lean into a kiss.
He does. Yeah,
to the dead guy.
Yeah.
Wait, no, the dead guy does to him.
No, he leans in.
He starts leaning in.
Well, it's mutual.
And then the dead guy no-sells it and he's like,
I gotta go sleep.
Oh, also,
that I'm voice, really drunk, he said.
Yeah, that voice just reminds me. There's a lot of weird retarded thing
in this. There really is.
That's not a word I use. This is, like, what the fuck is... Sorry, it's just another...
No,
there's layers upon layers of my hatred. It's like an onion of hate.
Well, because that's how you know his dad is a bad guy.
Yes, that's
Because he says the R word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, like, everyone go around and say that all the time, but that's all the information about his dad that you have. Is that his dad said that.
Yeah.
And so you know that, like, well, why wouldn't you be estranged from your father then? It's this very, like, short, it's this very shitty shorthand.
I think my dad said way worse shit.
Yeah.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mine too.
Yeah. I didn't like that as a subplot. I didn't like it referencing because there's a lot of, like, re and tarred things.
It was
like,
uncomfortable.
Other, like, vaguely. Yeah, it was just, it was gross. Like, this whole movie is gross.
Yes. Yeah.
If this movie were on a bus, I wouldn't want to sit near it. Like,
it
this movie
smells so well, bad.
Yeah, this movie smells bad.
Well, because
not even just the fart, just everything. The whole movie is.
It stinks.
Yeah.
Well, you can feel what it's trying to do to you emotionally. Like it's very on its face about that, and it feels gross how it's trying to manipulate you in these ways, because it's not effective, and so you can see the strings moving the whatever. I've lost this metaphor, but
I didn't see that.
No, because whatever.
All of the
the point is that you can see what they're trying to do. It's very it's very cynical and on its face, and so it's disgusting. It's not. It doesn't feel natural in the context of the movie.
I have no idea what it's trying to do.
It's trying to make you learn about what it means to love.
Oh, a dead person, mm-hmm. or is he just like coming out, or does he want to cross dress? Like, I'm so confused of what he really wants.
Yeah, there's also like a really gross kind of trans gay subtext in this that I really didn't like at all.
You find that gross? Yeah.
No. Yeah, I don't like the way they approached it. Like, it was just, it was like they were trying to, I don't know, there was like a certain amount of like, I don't know, it was just this play acting kind of thing that was just like, hey, this is really difficult to deal with. I have, in a Western society, I have feelings that aren't the, you know, normal, you know, by mass, you know, by percentage feelings. This is like a difficult thing to deal with, and people coming out, and this is like a complex, nuanced thing. In this movie, it's, I'll get dressed up like a lady on a bus and then touch my friend's boner. It's just gross. It's just done with this surface level. It's like pond scum. It's pond scum emotions.
Yeah. It,
does he like Sarah, or does he want to be Sarah?
Good question. My guess is he likes Sarah.
Oh, you just blew my mind.
Yeah.
I've watched this movie too many times.
No, but I think it is kind of treated a little bit, when he first shows up in particular, it's a little bit like, okay, this farting corpse is kind of serious, and he's spitting up water, that you're going to drink water from a corpse. Okay, that's a real thing that's happening. This guy's wearing a dress. Yeah. Boys don't wear dresses.
Yeah. I'm not happy with a lot of it. Again, as just peeling layers of subtext just makes me hate it more and more.
Yeah.
Also, that scene where he puts Manny up a tree so he can take a shower as he vomits water that's just over elaborate. Come on.
Yeah.
That's over elaborate.
Yeah, but you can straddle over him. Bidet that shit.
Over elaborate.
But that's kind of my point with this is where I was starting to lose it is that this whimsy you were trying to force on me of like, oh, but look, we're making made this little world out of milk cartons and we made this fun bus. What are you doing? You are in the wilderness. Like, do something.
Why aren't you trying to survive? Why are you trying to build a home here? Like, why aren't you trying to get help?
Because I wasn't engaged at all. Like, I don't care. The movie never emotionally resonated with me that I care about what Daniel Radcliffe is learning. And so instead, because to me, he's this dead body. And even if he's learning to be human, to what end? You're stuck in a Nowhereville. Why aren't you learning these things while also on a journey somewhere? It seems like you're just kind of spinning in circles for at least half of this movie. And I'm getting very tired of it very quickly.
Yeah. And they do have a part where they're like, let's just stay here and it'll just be us. And I was like, dear God, one of you kill yourself, please.
No, importantly,
Shane saw his head off.
As far as like the character arc is concerned, do you think he ever used Manny as a bidet?
No.
Because it's not like he has toilet paper.
That was your dream.
Yeah. Yeah. I was curious. You don't have to really worry about it, you know.
Haven't you seen that poster hanging up over there?
Just straddle over Manny, drop a rock on his stomach, man. And just clean out the old underparts.
Yeah. If he was European, more European, that might be a thing. But I think Americans, you know, we wipe.
Yeah.
Well.
Red, white, and blue.
We do.
Yeah. Dirty fucking Americans. Hate this country. So speaking about hating this country and peeing.
Oh.
Finally.
I don't know. I
had another boner thing to say. Sorry.
Oh, please. No, please talk about boners. Just say it slowly.
His nickname was Hanky Wanky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They made fun of him. Was it his school or his parents? And how would his school know about him jerking off?
It should have been everybody, frankly. I don't think this kid got bullied enough.
Yeah. Wait, so on this jerk off note, did we ever get a resolution of this? Did he ever come in the movie?
No.
Because, I mean...
Emotionally, he did.
No, but that's what I mean. Like,
I did.
Like, not even, like, in a silly note, but, like, that's the character arc. Is like, he's trying to get over erectile dysfunction, eventually. Like, that's the thought process behind it, is that he can't jerk off.
Emotional erectile dysfunction.
He's jealous of the stiff dysfunction.
Is, yeah. Oh, come on. Rigor mortis is long past. Man, he was damn near pliable. But, yeah, so he never jerks off in the movie. Like, he never actually comes. Because that's literally the only character arc that they build in the film. He's a creepy stalker guy, and at the end of the movie, he's a creepy stalker guy. Like,
he a creepy stalker, or is he a gay necrophiliac? That was my question.
I think that
or both.
I think the second one's probably more true than the first one, or he found the second one through the first one. It's like, you know, I got a job doing this. It turns out what I really liked was this. And so I was like, well, I'm going to use this corpse to stalk this woman. Turns out I'm way into this corpse.
I think you're right. Because, I mean, if he really wanted that girl, why was he spending 5 days building a whole life with the corpse with a boner?
And that's part of the thing where it's a little bit the movie, I think, wants you to think, like, is this real or is this not? Because it's really convenient that that's where they end up. That they end up at the house of this person he's pining over this
Which would make sense if this were a movie about an insane person.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Yeah. It's not. Fuck this movie in its shitbag face.
Well, so this is we're being a lot less literal with these movies than we normally are in terms of, like, going through things.
Oh, sorry. I wanted to make this podcast more emotional.
Thank you.
I'm crying.
But the whole time that there's a Paul Dano's character has a phone that's got a little bit of juice left on it, and the phone has a picture of a beautiful girl.
That was
there.
Jizz.
That's this. But, like, it's very well done photo of a lady on there. And you think, oh, maybe it's his long-lost love or something. The way they talk about it, you think. Turns out it is just a person on the bus that he took a photo of.
Also,
he creepily just snuck a shot of.
Great photo. This man's really fucking good at art.
Yeah.
That's a professional quality.
It irritated
quality.
Me how good the photo was.
Yeah, it was a really
and
good
he just
photo.
Snuck it on a bus. This kid is the next great artist, and he's too fucking stupid to do anything about it.
But you find out that this person, played by Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who I might have talked about this on the show before, is... And I think I came to this conclusion after this movie is a bellwether of whether or not I will like a movie through no fault of her own. She is fine in this movie. She is fine in every movie I've seen her in. But if she's in a movie, I fucking hate it. Scott Pilgrim, Faults, this, like there's any movie she's been in that I've seen. I do not like. And
good to know. I haven't seen the other ones.
Yeah. Olivia Wilde was like that for a bit. Like she's in a lot of movies I don't like her and Cowboys and Aliens, but what do you can, you know, it's Cowboys and Aliens. But no, it is this thing where she's just in a bunch of shitty ass movies and this is definitely one of them.
He gets attacked by a bear, which is the last like big action sequence of the film.
That's right.
Where Manny now can move by himself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. He's moving like a creepy, weird zombie kind of thing.
Yeah. Which again,
could
now
have happened earlier, but...
Yeah, so, apparently they're in a place with bears, and he gets attacked by a bear for some reason.
It's dragging him by his foot for a really long time.
Yeah, and then Manny farts on a fire, which explodes him up into the air, and then it scares the bear away? Is that the...
Yeah.
Okay, so that happens. Now, let's just stop here. There's a corpse that's been exploded. It's on fire. This kid got swiped by a bear claw and then bit in the same area he got swiped. He should be bleeding to death.
Mm-hmm.
The corpse should be ruined beyond all comparison. Nope. Just kind of pats the corpse out. Hey, everything's fine. Let's keep moving on, even though my leg was just swiped open by a goddamn fucking bear.
Yeah.
This movie sucks.
Which would also lead you to believe that he's insane.
Yeah.
That all of it's made up in his head.
None of this actually happened, yeah. I have not rooted this hard for a bear in a movie since insert popular large gay actor.
Oh, I was
literally
say
or
literally.
Okay,
yeah,
I was gonna say bending over.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wanted these people to die very badly or re-die in the case of Daniel Radcliffe.
It drug on for a really long time.
Yeah, I mean, because like I was saying, like there is no forward. To me, there's no forward plot momentum, but there's also no the characters aren't interesting enough that I want to spend time with these people.
Yeah. Oh, we did skip one of the more major parts. They're crawling over that pipe at one point, fall into the water, and they make out underwater.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right.
Because we missed the full kiss section.
Yeah, because it seems like Daniel Radcliffe is just producing bubbles. That's another power that
he's breathing through his face.
So it's sort of this like, well, is he just doing it to survive, or are they really into each other? And it's like, just fine. Just be gay. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's the 21st century, baby.
I didn't catch any glimpses of boner.
That's true.
Well, you should watch the stage play of Equus. You can see it all of
Well, no,
glory.
Just in the context of the movie.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about Daniel Radcliffe's dick.
Sure.
I'm usually thinking about Daniel Radcliffe's dick. It happens. So, they make out. Anyway, that's just then he gets mauled by a bear, and then...
Which I think, is another thing, so that this whole, like, fledgling relationship is happening between them. So... Like, I guess maybe the idea was that this is supposed to, he actually sort of found love with this corpse. So then his stalking, he doesn't care about that anymore because now he knows what real love is. But at the same time, like, I don't, when it gets to that section, I'm like, I don't even care about any of this anymore because you guys clearly love each other and you expressed it to one another. What's happening? Why are we still pursuing this?
Well, he'd also, you know? Well, we're not pursuing that. We're pursuing a different form of that. He had kind of given, in quotes, Sarah to Manny. Because remember that Manny is now convinced that Sarah is his crush.
Right.
His obsession.
But I think the movie still at the same time wants you to think that Manny is Tom Hanks or whatever his name is. Hank Thompson. Yeah. This is all just in his head.
Yeah, no, but at least the narrative thrust. Again, the movie sucks. In no way am I saying this makes sense. It's just, I think that's the idea, is that, okay, well, now his growth is at this, and then, so yeah.
His growth.
Yeah, outgrow.
I think I can sum the whole thing up with bros before hoes. I think that's what the entire theme was.
Yeah.
The whole point of this movie.
Oh, God, this movie's just terrible. All right, so Hanky then they end up on the lawn and they wrestle and have a nice little chat.
Well, so this is where I was convinced, without thinking about your part, the thing you were mentioning about the beginning of him would have had to have actually ridden this corpse. There is a completely subjective shot. She, Sarah or whatever, is in the kitchen doing dishes. You see her out the window. You see Manny and Hank crawling. You see the both of them doing it. Yeah. This is from anyone's point of view. It's a completely subjective shot. So it tells you, yes, Manny is a real person.
Yeah, and the daughter sees Manny speak. Yeah. Like, she's there for it. So that's, yes.
Because it would have to be, because otherwise you just have this man talking to a child and then slapping a corpse's dick.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. Because Manny starts to get like a boner because Sarah's nearby. And he slaps it, and it's comedic, but otherwise it's too horrible to think about the other way. But the end of the movie, like, kind of hinges on this moment of this, like, oh no, turns out he was real. It's like, yeah, we know that. You've already shown us that. You've already shown your hand that he's completely real.
Yeah, but
and that whatever emotion that you think is happening there has been completely undercut.
Yeah. So, well, while they're still in the yard before the big finale, Hank's dad shows up.
He pretends to be the corpse, though.
Well, so what happens? So they crawl into this person's yard. Turns out it's Sarah. What a coincidence! And Manny, figuring out that Sarah has this whole life, and he can't win her over, dies. Decides to be dead again, and then Sarah comes out, sees these two ragamuffins or whatever you want to call them on the lawn.
Yeah,
and then they call the police, and. The police and the ambulance and all that stuff. So it starts being this whole affair where all these people are showing up. The news is showing up because this man has survived in the wilderness and all this stuff. And in doing this, his dad shows up as well. They've contacted Hank's father because they found the phone. And that was the only number in the phone that was a real number, I guess.
Sarah's starting to see that he has a phone with a picture of her on it.
Yeah.
So she's starting to realize that he's some creepy weirdo in her backyard.
Well, no, she thinks that the dead body was a creepy weirdo at this point. Because they think the phone is Manny's, the dead body.
How can I not follow this?
Then there's the big reveal during his interview saying, you know, no. And this is one of the few parts that I hated less, was where he freaks out on camera going, his body has magical powers. And again, if this were a 10-minute short and that's the end of it, is some guy freaking out on a live broadcast screaming about how the corpse has magical powers and he rode it to another island, I would be like, oh, that was fun. Except I had to wait fucking an hour and 20 minutes before something that I vaguely didn't hate.
But this is where, when I first saw it, really just kicked in how much I fucking hate this movie, is because the movie forgives him. The movie 100% forgives him for being a fucking creep.
Yeah.
Because he learned to love because of a corpse. It's like if at the end of Taxi Driver, you know, the end of Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro has the whole thing. He saves the prostitute, whatever. But you still know he's an insane person. And this is going to happen again. He's going to kill other people or something bad's going to happen. This is like if that wasn't there. If he just saved the prostitute. No, he's fine now. And that's what this movie wants to do. It's like, no, he was this creepy stalker who may or may not have been hanging out in the forest behind this woman's house forever. And but he talked to a corpse and he's cool now. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. And the resolve at the end was weird because he goes, did you build all that stuff? Because they saw the bus and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was showing you all that it was all real.
Yeah. So they.
He was in her fucking backyard for like 5 days.
Yeah. He steals the corpse and runs away because he's like, no, Manny's my best friend. We can't end like this. And they run down in the forest to where the whole movie's been happening. So like I said before, it's. They have not been traveling that far. Like, they've been right there this whole time. Which, again, is like, well, is he crazy or not? Even though they've objectively shown you, no, this is a real thing. But, yeah, so there you're seeing everything. And everyone's looking at the stuff that he's built. And also like, what a nut job. And he is acting like this is not something they should have seen ever. Like, he says, oh, no, they found everything. And then he starts talking to the corpse about... I don't even remember what he says exactly, but just about how great the corpse is, how great Manny is.
And the corpse is a corpse now.
And everyone is just letting this happen. Like, the cops aren't, like, coming in and grabbing him for fear of hurting the corpse. I don't know. But they're just sitting back and going, like, yeah, no.
Evidence?
We're going to see where this how this plays out.
Well, so here's – why did the little girl run away? I don't care about in movie. Why did you write that part?
Because
it does nothing. Like, why was there just a weird added moment of tension of, oh, the little girl ran away because of this happening?
What? Because there were some strangers in her backyard that made her cry.
There was a little girl
that ran away? Yeah, her kid.
Oh,
yeah.
That's how they found all this stuff.
Because that's, okay. The couple chased after
I'm not what watching a, this a, movie what again because I missed that.
what a pointless thing.
Yeah.
Inept filmmaking. It's just another point of it.
Mm-hmm.
But so, yeah, they go through the finale on the beach. I'm going to give this speech. This body was great. And I rode him away and everybody's looking at him like, oh, this poor, sad bastard.
Mm-hmm.
And he farts. And that's like this big deal. It's like, oh, because over the movie, we find out that he's shy. He's a shy farter.
Well, there's your forget jizzing. There's your story arc is he learned to fart.
That's true.
Yeah. Doesn't that make you feel better?
So
he farted in front of his friend because he was saying, you don't share your farts with me.
Yeah.
He's too inside.
Yeah, which again, I'd rather be friends with him because farting is gross and you need to be better. But they have this
you need to be better.
Yeah, just be better. We're evolved now. Let's you know, we can learn how to squeeze.
My dad did have a theory that because we fart, there's no God.
Really?
Yeah, he was like, there's got to be a better way. Like, come on.
Yeah, well, if, you know, good for your dad. He knew what was up. Everybody's looking at him like he's insane. And then this long string of Flatus starts coming out. And people are like, oh, come on, man, stop. He goes, that wasn't me. Everybody turns to see Manny. His pants are a bubble, a froth with gastric grossness coming out. Hank's dad starts smiling at this point. Because this isn't earned at all.
It's so
his
weird.
Dad doesn't know nearly enough about the situation to find this corpse farting funny. His son just gave an insane fucking speech for minutes. He should be devastated.
Yeah.
He's like, certainly his little fucking dumb fucking mustache starts smiling a little bit like, oh, look, things are happening. And the Swiss Army man rockets away into the sunset on into the ocean.
And the camera dude's like, holy shit.
Yeah. And Sarah's like, oh, my God. This movie fucking sucks.
Well, yeah, like there's no, that's the resolution.
Yeah,
like,
that's the big payoff.
I'm left with nothing.
That's, that's when I started forming my rope so I could just fucking kill myself off my balcony.
Well, the reason I said earlier that I like the ending, I very much
yeah,
I don't
please
mean I like,
explain
no, I don't mean I like the ending. I more mean it's the best ending you could come up with for this because if it ended with just like, oh, the emotional thing where Hank gets taken away and he actually just is insane. Because this movie's like trying to be, you know, edgy in all the dumb ways.
It was too late for that.
But no, but that's what I mean. But because this movie's inept and horrible, I thought they would have gone with the inept, horrible ending of Hank goes away and he's got like a sad look on his face as Manny's lying there motionless. Because that would fit the bullshit
possible
of this film. That's the way they ended, even though it's demonstrably proven that Manny's actually alive. This movie's so shitty at being a movie, it would end with, you know, Hank being taken away, Manny's just lying dead on the beach. So that they actually pulled the trigger of having other people see it, 100% accepted. It's like, at least they... Actually, yeah, so instead of saying I liked it, I should say, at least they didn't fuck it up totally.
No, what they should have done is when he farts, and like, he lets it out, and then the cop arrests him, and then they're going away, and you hear another fart. And the cop's like, hey, man, cut it out. instead of him going like, it wasn't me, he should have gone, first one who smelt it, dealt it. And then the cop just looks at the camera, a single tear goes down his face, while Joan Osborne's What If God Was One of Us plays.
Perfect.
And then the movie ends.
Yes.
The second one does make you cry.
That yes. would have been, yeah. Then the very last one, you've been like, oh.
Dedicated to John's yeah. dad, the man who disproved God.
The Fart Theorem, starring Christoph Waltz.
So it's possible that there's going to be a part two.
Are you serious?
He's still alive. Oh, okay, he just okay.
I thought you were. You had some hot inside oh, God, Hollywood no. dish.
No. Yeah. But he wrote off. I mean, it's possible That's there true. Could be a part two. I mean, maybe he just goes and finds.
Yeah, another
creepy
yeah.
dudes. Yeah. Well, he wasn't castaway. He was in her backyard.
Why? Well, because the movie starts. He's on a tiny little island.
But who knows? Okay.
No, we know because no, he's not insane.
Listen, listen.
Proves.
He gets on him and they go into the water and then he wakes up on the beach. He could have just went out and came right back to the same fucking
no,
spot.
No, they had an establishing shot of that was like a tiny island with no well, land
you,
on
you,
it.
You only saw like a couple angles from yeah, it. So it could be like, it could just be like he was a little bit away. Yeah. Like far enough away that oh, you so probably like, shouldn't swim
yeah,
there.
There's like a peninsula. But, yeah.
But no, I like your idea because I think it's about time for creepy dudes to get a break. And I think Swiss Army Man is the champion of the creepy dude.
He's yeah. going to come down to the Willamette and get you, Alex. Well, the next, well, victim.
No, the next movie is going to be he's slightly more decomposed and he gets like kind of like an Ed Gein, you know, like so somebody's
Someone's
actually like
him.
Fucking his eye socket or something. Like yeah. it gets progressively worse into like more like an Eli Roth movie by part four
yeah.
where it's just this gross like – modeled, rotted corpse.
But it's still treated as deep and thoughtful.
No, exactly. Like, the yeah. exact same style of movie, but just exponentially worse. Like, his boner's broken in half. Like,
because it's just a nub and a yeah. point. Like, you know, when dogs have their tails cut off
yeah,
and it like wags, but it's just like a little nub.
Just bones sticking out, like, where from when he's fallen down the hill too many times.
Well, it's like that point in the movie where he's... I don't even know what the issue is, but he's like, I can't help it. This is a thought. And this is a thought.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a thought. And you're just seeing the movie that happened. I'm just sitting there going like, man, I wonder if you could human centipede one dude. Because I would like to watch that happen right now versus whatever's
want,
happening right
now. You want
here.
To shit into his mouth?
Just I wanted him to shit into his own mouth.
Oh,
because rather
oh.
than to shit into my ears with this nonsense.
Oh, this movie just got sassed.
Yeah.
John style.
Finally.
Well, I mean, yeah, so that's the end. I mean, I just, your final thoughts. I mean, I can't recommend this movie enough. I loved it. I mean, I think I made that pretty clear over the last hour of us discussing this. I think this was a delight, really unique filmmaking, and I'm going to go shoot myself for saying these
yeah.
things.
No, it is kind of fascinating, like the amount of shitty things that we've watched up to this point, like how, and it makes me feel better that we both viscerally have the same sort of visceral response of just like, fury at this movie.
I really, really hated it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Steph.
I laughed out loud twice during this movie when I watched it the second time. And once was because I misheard something. The second time was because I had a terrible thought that I can't even share because it's that terrible.
Oh, boy.
You do the math, audience. Do that work at home. Figure out what yeah. Steph thought. Write it down and mail it. Care of John Alex Hate Stuff.
Yeah. So, John, let us thank Steph for joining us this week.
No.
Yeah, let's not. Let's just...
No, thank you, Steph.
No. You were right the first time. It's embarrassing how bad this movie was, and you should be embarrassed that you brought it up. So, good job. Next time on John and Alex Hate Stuff, we are going to watch The Invitation.
So, accept our invitation to also watch that movie.
Is this... What year is this?
It's pretty recent. It's like the last year or two.
The one 2015, The Invitation.
Yeah.
Starring Phil Hay and Matt Manfredi.
What names you just said.
Director Karen Kusama. While attending a dinner party at his former house, a man thinks his ex-wife and her new husband have a sinister intention for their guests.
Or do they?
I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. But okay. That's what we're watching. So join us next time to do those things that we said.
Thank you.
Bye.